Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you here. Oh, and I've got three lovely lads that you need to meet. James or Jim, you're the first one.
All right.
Pete,
you're
the
take me out.
Yeah, it says I'm still a black.
Pete.
Hello.
Luke.
If it was like take me out, I'd have worn my shirt if I don't know.
A show with Paddy McGuinness in it called Take Me Out is a very inviting concept, yes, isn't it?
To snipers.
And a bad start to the show.
All right.
Speaking of which, Pep Guardiola, a little dismissive of Jack Wilshere. In the media this week, saying that many players like him are in the Barcelona B team.
I don't think he meant it.
I think he qualified it by sort of saying that Arsene Wenger is not under the same sort of pressure to win leagues, so he can sort of bed in players a little bit easier. I've got to be bang league win, bang league win. He didn't say it like that.
Although there was a time that Arsenal were.
It was probably why, isn't it?
There's a lot to be said for lowering your fan base's expectations gradually.
Indeed, indeed. But I mean, Wenger's trying to sign all of these little Jack Wilshere.
Well, I've shoehorned that into an opening question, which is, what's your favourite withering put down of a player?
Well, I'm going to go first. I am not Zlatan, but someone is. And when John Carew was criticising him, do you remember this a little while ago?
good one.
Zlatan just—it was really uncharacteristic, actually, because it was just really quite dry and just quite nonchalant. But he said, "Well, you know, Carew criticises me, but can you honestly say there's anything he can do with a football that I can't do with an orange?"
That's true.
I think he also posted a video of him doing kick-ups with an orange onto YouTube, sort of back it up.
Did he start peeling it, cutting out the football
with his feet?
Yeah,
his manager must be thinking, "Have you got nothing else on?"
No, I remember seeing Maradona do keep ups with a golf ball.
Nice.
Over 94. I was a lot younger at the time. Oh, incredible.
There's an amazing story, I'm not sure if it's apocryphal, about Maradona getting an honorary doctorate from a university in England as Master Inspirer of Dreams or something.
Yeah, that's right.
He got up there to accept his degree with his gown on, and there was talk of someone throwing him a golf ball. He did loads of keep ups with it.
That was that wrong?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's true or not.
I just think it's very hard to kick.
Yeah, it would
damage your foot, wouldn't it? You'd get bruised. Unless you're wearing very heavy loafers.
Maybe he was. Pete, what's your answer, baby?
Well, you're kind of talking about players talking about other people's players and stuff, but I'm going to go for Bobby Robson on Andy O'Brien when he got the football in the face, and he basically said Andy O'Brien has a horrendous nose. The poor lad, it is massive.
That's what he said.
You added that, like,
no, he qualified it by saying it is black and blue now, but he's starting a sentence with Andy O'Brien has a horrendous nose, because to be fair, it's of a decent size.
Really is big. And if statistically speaking, it's much more likely to be hit by a football than other people's nose.
That's probably
just on a surface area basis.
Gravity
is inevitable, really, isn't it?
In the name of surface area, Luke, what you got?
Can you guys remember when Walter Smith was being interviewed as Rangers manager by a Scottish journalist? Marcus, I know you'll remember this.
Called Cheek Young.
Cheek Young, that's it. And he piped up and said that Brian Laudrup,
Barley and Laudrup,
Basil Boney.
It was off the back of a Champions League game.
May I?
Yes. Get it right.
Basil Boney and Brian Laudrup. That Rangers had just signed, and Chick Young piped up and said, well, they're not good enough, they're not strengthened the team, all this sort of stuff, because they were poor in the Champions League in that particular game. Mm-hmm. And then Smith just went on a massive one about how they won the Champions League, and he turned it around the journalist, and went to the point where he was saying to the journalist, you've had a shocker here, you've had a shocker.
That is class.
And then Archie Knox, the assistant, walks past and he goes, here Archie, get involved. And they both were a puppy. It is not only a withering put down, it's about 7 or 8 minutes of consecutive withering
put down of joy
yeah
of joy for watching.
You're not a fan. Chit Young, are you? That's why you like it.
Well, Archie Knox. No, I'm not. Archie Knox. Does he not say, "Are you talking shite again?" or something and walk off?
Like Jamie in the thick of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the way when he says that about Bolly and Laudrup, Smith just looks at him and goes, "Bolly's won the Champions League. Laudrup played for Milan." It's like he's about to go on some psychotic attack.
And he actually says, "My players may not have done well tonight, but you've had an absolute shocker here."
Brilliant. Walter Smith and Archie Knox. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you would not want to cross them in a million. I know I said some nice things about Knox last week, but my goodness.
No.
Good one. I'm going to go for Jose Mourinho when he was in charge of Chelsea. And they played Blackburn Rovers away, and they won 1-0, I think. And it might have been the game where Dickov missed a penalty. Czech saved it. And Jose was really pleased to win that game. It was very difficult. And it was... Robbie Savage had done something. And Jose Mourinho said after the game, he went, and he was trying to remember him. He went, "The blonde boy, can't remember his name." He was so dismissive, yeah.
Well, Balotelli recently had a pop at Wiltshire himself, didn't he, as well?
I've never heard of him. I've never heard of him.
Barry Telly, pretty.
Yeah.
Who's got the points? Luke Moore.
Yeah.
He did the point before he was awarded the point.
Yeah, you let him give himself the points.
A point
there.
For a point.
You have had a shocker there.
I am Zlatan.
You're talking shite again, Mark.
Because he knows. He's got it. It's that good an answer.
No, he's put that idea
raise
in your
head game.
And you've gone with it.
Raise your game. Do nothing else.
Raise your game.
Speaking of which, Liverpool have raised their game.
Yeah, they have.
3-0 Manchester United, an unlikely hat-trick from Dirk Kuyt. Or is that being harsh?
I think it's harsh, don't you?
Yeah, he's in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, he's... Well, in such a big game, you often get weird goal scorers or weird sort of events taking place like that, don't you? Because the margins are so tight sometimes. It was just a case that Kuyt got himself in the right position
three times.
Suarez was outstanding.
Brilliant.
It was incredible.
I think that last week I noticed, completely separate to how Kuyt performed on the weekend, last week he was getting quite a lot of stick ahead of this game. So some person... So I forget who it was now, so you have to forgive me. I don't want to call people out, but someone said, Dirk Kuyt, he's just not very good.
And I was but he gets that all the time. He's such an underrated player, Kuyt.
He's a very good link man.
He's important. He's really important.
Because he was brought in almost as Suarez has been with this Dutch player that's come in with a reputation of scoring loads of goals. But he's not here to do that.
No.
But he's still being judged against that. And that's not fair on him. He's not that player now.
And I the thing about Suarez, by the way, is I agree with what you said. But I actually found myself thinking, I think he's still got more to offer. I think he's still got an extra yard of pace in him. I think he's still got an awful lot of a way to go before he hits peak form.
I think it's great for the Liverpool fan in particular, because he looks like the type of player who you think, go on, and you enjoy watching, and you enjoy watching him doing well, despite, you know, doing the dirty against Ghana and biting that player in the Dutch league. He comes across as a very likable
all that's
to
come,
watch.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I think he's a new El Hadji Diouf, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the fireworks. But you see,
wait for his two goals then.
See it when he grabbed Fabio. Was it Fabio or Rafael that played? I forget, for Man United.
Oh, with a hair pull.
Yeah, he grabbed his hair.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. No one was looking, he just went up to
him. For Rafael.
Just grabbed his hair.
He was getting kicked out of the park.
Can I say
You know, he had his own say on that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Jamie Carragher's tackle on Nani is one of the worst tackles I've probably seen in recent years.
Yeah, it was described as a deep gash, wasn't it, left in his leg, which sounds like a sort of like subgenre of dance music.
Yeah.
I couldn't see why Nani just sat suddenly just sweating and crying. And I was like, what's wrong with him? Yeah, because he stood up and then he looked at his leg and he went,
it was one of those delayed reaction ones.
Butch Wilkins was beside himself. He was so angry at half time.
It was shocking. Like, could have broken his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Someone said to me the other day, it wasn't that high. Any higher, it would have ruptured his spleen.
Liverpool should have
taken a
down.
Ball off.
Yeah, exactly.
They should have been down to nine men.
They should have had one off each.
Well, Maxi could have gone for that.
Down
the leg.
Yeah, that was down to that
on
was
Rafael.
On Rafael, wasn't it? And then Rafael didn't actually touch the player when he went in. Yeah, all right, he could have hurt the player, but he was already just, oh my god, I've just been fouled horribly. I don't know what's going on.
Lost
strike out.
Yeah,
the logic you always get with this though is like, oh, we nice Man United, Liverpool, and it's always going to be a heated game, so you know the referee's got to be sensible. It's like it's down to the teams to stop being heated. You can't just let them do whatever they like.
I always think in these situations, these sort of games, the referee can't win, because if he pulls a yellow card out early, first minute, then everyone will say, oh, he set a precedent there. It's his fault now. Not 22 men are going to finish this game. But if he doesn't, then you know he's not got control of the game. So what do you want him to do?
It was lovely to see Dowd, wasn't it? Stand.
I think Dowd's a good ref.
He did well there. Yeah, I think
he's a good referee.
Taking his time,
I think.
Over his decision.
He loves himself, of course he does. But they all do.
Yeah. I think it's an idea out of putting so much extra time at half time simply because there were so many stoppages, but it was just getting out of hand, and I just think he just wanted to blow up, but he couldn't because there'd been so much stoppage.
One man, no matter how brave or strong he is, isn't going to go in and stop however many players.
Unless he's Howard Webb.
Exactly, yeah. But the thing about Nani's injury, it reminded me of when my sister, when we were younger, if she hurt herself,
you two-footed her.
She wouldn't cry until she saw the cut or whatever. Crying. That's what Nani did. And Nani was actually crying, I think, as well. It looked like he was.
It looked bloody painful.
I mean, I'm not blaming him. It was awful.
He's quite annoyed at Ferguson and Manchester United themselves not coming out and sort of giving Liverpool to both barrels because they did that. Quite frankly, disgraceful sort of behaviour after the match. I don't understand why they're allowed to get away with this sort of thing constantly.
Well, they'll get fined, I imagine. Mm. I mean, I'm pretty sure Ferguson gets fined every time he refuses to talk to the BBC.
Yeah, he just doesn't care.
But then they say that nobody's complained formally to the Premier League.
The BBC will, though, I reckon, at one point.
Mm.
The BBC don't generally do. And he should talk to Sky. He's got to be careful, Ferguson. They're the paymasters.
Obliged, don't they?
And where does all the money come from? Do you know what I mean? Exactly. It comes from there.
I know Manchester United historically probably in the last 10, 20 years probably haven't used quite so much Sky money to buy players because a lot of their spine has been their youth team. But still, the development... They still have the luxury players of people like Rooney that they've spent the money on.
Yeah, with
the
top and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they later on in Ferguson's reign, they spent a lot of money. Before that, you're absolutely right. In the 90s, they didn't spend as much, did they?
No.
Indeed. Arsenal.
It's frustrating.
Happy with a clean sheet at home?
God, yeah. I mean, that offside decision is just not what you need, is it? Obviously, penalty there should have been, I think, as well. Titus Bramble's sort of like headbutt on Arshavin's arse, as I remember it. Bizarre.
0-0 at home.
At least he's creative with his fouls.
Yeah, indeed.
Sunderland are going well, but it's within touching distance, the top of the league.
They scored a goal, though. That's the really frustrating thing for me, a legitimate goal.
Yeah, but ahead of the Arsenal game, Sunderland lost 3 or 4 on the spin.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
They were doing all right for their position.
To be fair, they've got that game in hand, and it is against Spurs, so you'd expect that they would sort of raise their game a little bit. After their,
I guess it depends on how both teams get on in the Champions League. Yeah.
Again, with United losing, it's similar to when Arsenal threw that 4-0 lead away against Newcastle. It looks like a really bad result, and obviously it is. But again, they're a point closer to United.
United lost,
It's true. It's a positive. It's a bare positive, but it is one.
Bare positive.
It's a bare positive.
It is.
like when you go camping, like you've actually packed your food like 100 yards away from your tent, so you're safe. Yeah. That's
when has that ever happened to anyone?
I was thinking it was the opposite of a clothed positive. But Birmingham 1, West Brom 3. Mm. Roy the Boy, Hudson.
Yeah.
Lovely win on there.
I think he needs to move to a big club, Roy.
Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Wolves 3, Spurs 3. One of the games of the season, I'd like to suggest.
Fantastic stuff.
I think it was the best game I've seen this season.
Wolves should easily have won that.
Yeah. Nice tribute to Dean Richards, of course, before the game.
Well judged, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. What I also liked before the game was the montage of Mick McCarthy, because they said he had the Midas touch against the top four sides or something.
Oh, they did like Goldfinger.
To Goldfinger. Which is
it was embarrassing, yeah. Marcus, that's what it was.
It's Partridge-esque. You can't have Goldfinger without referencing Partridge.
Do you know what? I like a bit of McCarthy. After the game, he sort of went, yeah, you know, I'm 35, but look what this league's doing to me.
You're not Mick.
We all know.
You're considerably older than that.
Yeah, I like him now. Sodger. Wolves are playing some good stuff. I said before, they struck me as the unluckiest team in the league.
Look at the sending off decision. That should have been a red card. Why didn't he go for Milias's tackle?
The goalkeeping blunder that led to a goal that was disallowed as well. It could easily have been a goal. Gomez didn't really ever have his hands on the ball when you look at the replay.
He saved the ball through a player. Now, if you're going to do that, all you can do as a goalkeeper is protect your goal. You can't just lunge past someone. If you're going to drop it and you're lunging past someone, that's your own decision.
It's a weird one because, as you alluded to a second ago, Wolves' record at home against the big teams is excellent. And if you look at Manchester United, couldn't get at any point in there. So to Spurs, on paper, it may oddly look quite a good result. But... you know, if you score three goals, Spurs score three goals of immense quality as well.
Yeah.
They'll be disappointed to concede at the back and that sort of stuff. But I mean, Wolves deserved it. I mean, and Marcus, as you say, it's a weird paradox because at the same time, Wolves were a bit unlucky because they had that goal that could have stood and they should have had and Hutton should have gone. Hutton, for me, is a bit of a liability. I have to say.
I mean, also late on, Gareth Bale caused a lot of trouble, didn't he? Also, Defoe hit the post.
Yeah, that's true.
Good
to
see Defoe back amongst the goals as well. Two really good goals. I think that was his first league goal since April or something like that.
Yeah. I can't believe that.
He's been injured, though. He has been injured, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, but still, he's played a significant chunk in that time.
Yeah. Speaking of strikers who haven't scored for a while, Zamora getting the winner for Fulham.
Yeah, mm.
Nice to see.
Penalty.
Duff with two. Always scoring it. Well, not always. He didn't score against Chelsea, but often against his old clubs. Mm. Yeah. Did against Newcastle.
Very bitter man.
You forget that he played for Chelsea.
Yeah, Duff. He was brilliant for Chelsea
for a while.
He and Robin were just devastating
on that
together.
In that front three sort of
thing. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I loved Ian Robin. He was brilliant.
Ian Robin.
What about Ian Holloway?
He's all right as well.
Very unhappy with the penalty that Chelsea got given against Blackpool, even though it was a penalty. And I loved what he said. Chelsea beat Blackpool, of course, 3-1. I loved that he said, well, Kalou couldn't wait to fall over and the referee couldn't wait to give it. It was a penalty!
He's a referee, he enjoys rules.
You're having a go now at a referee making a quick, decisive, correct decision. Where do we go from here?
Well, that's the problem. It's a serious point, though, because if managers were much more honest, when they don't seem to realise, if they were much more honest when the referee got things right, we'd have a lot more patience with them when the decisions go against them. Because if you have, say, a decision like this is made, say that wasn't a penalty, and Holloway was going mental about it, and then Ancelotti came up and said, oh, I didn't see it, which is almost certainly what would happen, you don't get any sort of respect for them.
No.
Whereas if Ancelotti did say, oh, well, it probably didn't deserve that, people would have a lot more respect for the managers and stuff.
And it puts the pressure on the referees as well, because people
more
take
pressure,
what the
indeed.
Managers say as gospel. You know, people, if it is kind of 50-50 and fans see that their manager thinks it's not a penalty, they're always going to subscribe
more
to
patient,
that, you
yeah,
know,
more patient.
One of those things.
Was I the only one thinking, give that penalty to Torres?
Yeah.
Give him the penalty, because he needs
David
it.
David Luiz has scored before he has.
Yeah. Apparently Torres' record in terms of shots on target and stuff is worse than Shevchenko's at the same stage.
Bloody hell.
Which doesn't bode well.
They're not going to ruin another.
Doesn't bear
strike.
Well.
Doesn't bode well.
You said bear well to start with. Where's this word getting in everywhere?
I don't know. Can't bears, I think. Did you see Eric Cantona? On, was it Football Focus?
He was, yeah, doing the old Cosmos.
We mentioned the Cosmos before. We mentioned the chap who he kung fu kicked the other week on the pod. He said recently, it was on the BBC, of course, that his kung fu kick on the Palace fan was possibly the highlight of his career. He said, when I did the kung fu kick on the hooligan, love it. He said, because these kind of people don't have to be at the game. I think maybe it's like a dream for some, you know, sometimes to kick these type of people. So I did it for them, so they are happy. He's basically saying, I did it for the fans.
Yeah. My favourite quote was, yeah. I did it for the fans, it was like freedom for them.
I like to think that if he run into the guy now, he'd just beat him up.
Yeah, maybe he would. I mean, didn't we ever a story a while back about that guy? What's his name? Matthew Skinner or something?
Yeah, the kids
football match.
Yeah, yeah. From a kids football game. He's obviously a terrible bloke.
Let's go down to the Championship. Cardiff 0, Ipswich 2.
Jimmy
Bullard with a brace.
But Cardiff were absolutely smashing that as well for ages. I just couldn't find a way through.
Jimmy Bullard,
he's back.
On loan from Hull.
Yeah.
I've forgotten all about Bullard, forgive me.
Great finish, the first one in particular.
Was it? Mm. I didn't see that game, but I did see that Portsmouth have now gone 6 wins on the bounce without conceding.
You're absolutely loving it, aren't you?
I can't remember the last time they did it. They definitely didn't do it in their promotion season.
But that is a fair point, because I think people... You forget that outside of the top four and all the big clubs and, you know, QPR and whatnot, for a club to go 5 or 6 wins on the bounce is incredible.
Without conceding a goal as well.
And that's even more impressive.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
And it's all down to Cottrell.
Yeah, big Steve.
You see?
Forrest couldn't manage a win.
Beat second team.
They lost at home to Hull, their home record's gone.
Awful. Mm. Awful business.
See what you've done now?
See what happens to Hull when they get rid of Bullard? Problem he was. Problem in the dressing room.
Forrest have got Chris Boyd on loan, haven't they? So it'll be interesting to see if it works out for him there.
How many forwards have they got?
They've got 9 forwards
in
the squad
now. 9 forwards,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. One at the back?
Yeah, don't need anyone else.
Indeed. Right, all SPL. Chris Commons, 2 goals for Celtic.
That first one was a banana of a shot, wasn't it? Brilliant. What a goal.
He did that against Rangers, didn't he, a swerver?
Yes, he did. He's a very good player, obviously.
Yeah, he's decent. Rangers won. I think I'm going to have to give it up. Hearts lost at home to Kilmarnock 2-0.
Well, if Celtic and Rangers...
Are you on board, James?
But if Celtic and Rangers get charged for that brawl between them and get docked loads of points...
Nice seduction, maybe.
You never know.
What is happening to you?
I'm trying to keep it alive for you, mate.
It's an illness. It's like we've been in a room for too long with each other.
You've always been my favourite.
Pete, turn their mics down. Because I tell you, this is going to shit. I never thought you'd turn.
I'm just feeding the flames.
Love it. God bless you for that.
How many points are they off the top now? Too many.
It doesn't matter.
I think I agree.
12, I think. 12. It's happened before, though, Pete, isn't it? Serie A. Milan got an important win last week against Napoli. Gives them a bit of
and another one against Juventus as well, didn't they?
And Inter are up to second, aren't they?
Inter, yeah, I believe so.
What a difference a month and a bit makes.
A Brazilian move.
Yeah.
That's right. Or is it Cassano?
Almost certainly Cassano.
Yeah. Sampdoria, though, are having a bad time without him. They offloaded him and Pazzini.
Yeah.
Which was an odd move, really. Yeah. And they sacked their coach, Di Carlo, because of it. Dear, oh dear.
What's Cassano got to do with Inter, you two?
We're talking about Milan.
I was talking about Inter, sorry. I'm doing my own thing over here.
Oh, sorry.
Interesting. Did you see when Gattuso scored for Milan against
Juventus? Fill in the blanks yourself.
He kind of lay on the grass, and they all piled in as they do, but they were kind of almost like rubbing his belly like he was a dog.
Who was this, Cassano?
Gattuso. A really, really odd celebration.
Yeah. That's funny, isn't it?
Maybe he's just insisted on that and had too scared to not do it.
He hasn't scored in something like 3 years.
No,
he's had a long time to plan it.
Maybe heard Pete likes him in a romantic way, and he was spurred on.
I let her rub his belly.
You still holding the candle for him, Pete?
A beautiful hairy candle.
Buffon should have saved that. Should have done better. Oh well, Zlatan. He's declared himself the best player in the world.
That's that box tick.
What is that? Is he in a UFO now?
Yeah, he's upgraded. I've got a little list of people that Zlatan looks like.
Go on.
A young Des O'Connor.
No, you show me that picture. I'm not having
I'm
that.
Not sure.
Farris Badwin from The Horrors.
I don't know who he is.
I don't know his face.
Australian swimmer Ian Thorpe.
Can't picture him.
Oh, come on, you lot.
Bring this back, damn you.
Yeah.
Give us the references we know.
People on Twitter, back me up.
He used to look like a mate of mine called Neil.
He used to.
Yeah.
Until that horrific car accident. Yeah. Poor Neil.
I'm just trying to take the pressure off you, pal. Call me Jose. He said, I'm the best player in the world. I really feel that way. You've finished if you don't believe in yourself.
And he said, I agree with him. I think that's fair enough.
Not to this extent.
Well, I think it's fair enough. If you go on the pitch as a footballer, I believe in your own head. I mean, I'm not necessarily agreeing that you have to advertise it. But if you think that, it's fair enough, isn't it?
It's as Shakespeare said, isn't it? Back thyself. You have to.
No, but this is a bit, well, all right, fair enough.
What we're trying to say is I don't think you're really going to get anywhere in your profession if you go on the pitch and go, well, I'm fucking terrible.
No, but that's not what he's saying. He's basically saying he is saying he's the best player in the world.
No, but I think his justification, I was going to say justification there. Justification.
The KLF.
Yes. It's basically what Luke was saying, that he thinks, you know, you've got to have confidence in yourself, you've got to believe in yourself and just keep.
Do you think you're the best player in the Ramble then, Luke?
Yes.
Okay. Make what you will of that, ladies and gentlemen. And Man United, there's reports that they're interested in Palermo's Javier Pastore, the Argentinian player.
I don't believe those reports.
He's different class, though.
He's class, yeah. Serie A Young Footballer of the Year last year. Mm. Got a few goals this season as well, 10 or so, I think.
Absolutely superb. In the Bundesliga.
Chiselled.
Yeah. Oh, the thing I like about him is he's tall, sort of around my height, like 6'2.5-ish. Very rakishly thin, similar to myself. But at the same time, he's got a decent.
This is going back to that Paddy Thingy show, isn't it?
He's got a decent amount of core strength, though, so he doesn't get knocked off too easily.
In the Bundesliga, did you see Marcel Janssen's goal against Mainz?
Ridiculous! That made the 1966 final of the season look like a clear-cut effort.
It
takes something to stand out in bad refereeing decisions this season, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that really
does.
The ball we had to import one in.
The ball hit the bar and came back out to the point of his teammate tried to then put the ball in and put it wide, and he walked off with his arms in the air, and the linesman gave it, and it was about half a foot in front of the line.
It wasn't even on the line. What Luke did to you earlier with the points, he's just claimed it and without thinking he's gone, yeah, all right.
As my kids' football team coach used to say to me, if the referee's not sure, he'd give it to whoever shouts the loudest.
Yeah, that is true.
So you get out there, get the peel in there. But the one thing about it was I didn't see the rest of the game, but that made Hamburg go 1-0 up, didn't it? But they lost 4-2 in the end. I think the referee made the rest of the game just putting things right, just giving ridiculous penalties to the other team and stuff.
Yeah, that's very.
I hope that happened.
Incidentally, Sepp's come out recently saying that goal
line
technology.
That's news.
Tied of shorts.
Was Sepp in the crowd there, and the camera just panned to him as a goal was given. He just sat there, and just shook his head.
No,
not giving it.
He's come out of his shell. the shape-shifting reptile.
Yeah. Do they live in Shields?
I don't know. Ask David Icke.
Shape-shifting ones can.
Ask David Icke. He says that goal line technology will be used at the World Cup in Brazil if a suitable system is approved in time.
Isn't it got to be 100% accurate within 1 second? that's the criteria.
But that's what Hawkeye has with tennis, isn't it? Hawkeye were testing it and they had exactly that, and then apparently right. I think it was actually the FA that made them stop for some reason.
Oh, okay, right.
Indeed. Now then,
actually, didn't they also ban snoods?
Yeah, they have. Yeah,
they have banned
from July. Yeah, I think they should change it so the referee is the ref bot from Robot Wars.
And like similarly aggressive as well.
He rarely gets things wrong, Jim.
Indeed,
as simple as that.
Craig Charles presenting.
Yeah, why not?
Terrible ideas all round. Speaking of which, Chechnya played Brazil.
Did you watch the game?
Speaking of which, Chechnya.
An awful light. No, sorry. They did. I did watch a bit of it, actually, yes. It was incredible.
It was chaos.
I saw about a minute of it and there was a goal.
There were 2 20-minute halves. It's basically the biggest sort of vanity project for the leader.
It's disgusting.
It's shocking. But the lineup for Brazil was just beautiful. Romário and Bebeto were involved.
What?
Cafu, Jalminha, Elba, Danilson, Zico.
Yeah.
Dunga captained the team.
Didn't Zé Maria play as well?
Yep, there was a few. Rai, I think, was in there as well.
Zico.
Socrates' brother.
Yeah.
Was it? What did Socrates think of that? I don't think he approved. I wouldn't have thought.
Do you think he was offered?
Nah, no. He's old now.
I don't know.
Socrates is old now.
Very old. I suppose Zico's.
People can't be bothered to offer Socrates anything because every time he gets offered something on the other end of the phone, he just sort of goes, "Well, I may play and I may not."
I'm having a cigarette.
Yeah.
And then for Chechnya, there was a few government officials, former Russian internationals. Remember, forgive pronouncing
Colonel Gaddafi?
His son, they could have got him involved. He was a player. Beschaznich, I think it was pronounced.
Oh, the Russian player.
Real journeyman, he was.
He played in the La Liga for a while.
Yeah, he did.
And also Oliver Kahn and Lothar Matthäus in there.
Yeah. Did Kahn play? I don't think he played.
The feed I watched it on, that ChechnyaToday.com.
I think we all watched it on that.
It was so grainy, you couldn't make out who was who. The only reason I could recognise Jalminha was by his flicks.
Yeah.
And I might have got that wrong.
Hullet played.
Hullet?
Yeah. Because, he's there, isn't he?
Terek Grozny coach.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense for him.
I think that was part of his deal.
Yeah.
who's how big is Romário now? He must be size.
In Chechnya, they all know
him. Yeah.
He's top of the charts.
I think he's a bit green around the gills. Yeah.
Did you see the keeper for Brazil? Was it Zetti?
I don't know.
Fat.
Yeah. What was the score in the end?
It was
when I turned off. It was 3-2, and the Chechnyan leader had missed 2 penalties. He was wearing tracksuit bottoms.
I think I saw him score. Actually, did he score?
Yeah. All he needed to do was just put them mildly near the corner. Yeah. And it's in. The keeper was this little tubby guy, very very happy looking chap, as you would be.
Yeah.
I reckon at least it's $100,000 each.
Maybe even more.
They're not going to be going there for the scenery.
No, not for the sporting challenge.
Either way, public spending is taking a dive.
To paraphrase a Noel Gallagher comment, there's 100,000 reasons they're playing at Brazil against Brazil.
Is that right?
Sorry, against Chechnya.
Yeah, but the Chechnyan president.
He's
Kadyrov.
A predator.
He did get the goal.
If it
bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah, he was playing up front. He said before the game, "I'm in great physical condition."
He's not.
I will captain the team. I've lost 5 to 6 kilos, especially, so that I'll be able to play until the end. However long they play, I'll be able to defend and attack. Well, more like just attack.
This is worrying. Grotesque, isn't it?
Do you reckon though? Like, I mean, there's still professional football, and he's categorically not. Do you reckon he sort of went right in your contract? You got a.
Yeah.
Did you? I don't know if you saw any of the game, Pete. They didn't touch him. It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
So you're suggesting like a little FC Start sort of situation where they've been told, come on,
maybe. Yeah, but FC Start.
No. Look, no one's going to shoot Romário for tackling the president of Chechnya.
Oh, but the Lino never gave the president offside.
If Romário did get shot and he like complained to the police, he'd be like, "Yeah, I'll get shot like 400 times.
I was riddled with bullets."
Yeah.
You've got one ricochet there.
Yeah. I'm claiming it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He also wore the number 10 shirt. I think Kadyrov did.
He's on free kicks, penno, captain, all that sort of stuff.
Any oggies go to him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's been suggested also that another game might be planned for the 9th of May. So maybe
I think he's even set up his own dubious goals panel.
To be fair, if I ran a government, I'd do this sort of thing.
Which is why people like us aren't running government.
Oh, shall we make Crossrail and upgrade the tube system? No. Aww. To the ball pool, yeah, Playboy bunnies.
Yeah. See all those homeless people there?
No. Also, talking of special one-off games, Ronaldo. Mm. Brazilian Ronaldo has been given a final farewell match for the national side against Romania on June the 7th, I think it's going to be.
Is that an already planned friendly that they already had in, so that'd be the full team, the current team?
I would imagine this is probably a special one.
Yeah.
Don't know why I chose Romania though.
Who knows? Yellow.
Yeah.
I don't know. That wouldn't be the reason.
Anything, that's the reason to not do it.
It sounds like it's a bit of a tribute to the man himself, doesn't it?
Yeah. Romania.
Yeah, true. Actually, yeah. Yeah. Like, good, Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah. You heard it here first. They did that also with Romario, Zico, and Pele. They were honoured.
And some will say Beckham several times.
Yeah, that's right. Corinthians are also doing the same thing. So he's got two more games.
I want to see PSV and Barca do the same. And Real.
Yeah.
And Real Madrid.
All play Romania.
After one after another. Until Ronaldo's knees explode again.
It's tantamount to how good the man is. That he's essentially getting these like retirement parties that are actual games. It's brilliant.
It's kind of at the moment. Now you'd be at that one at the moment.
There was a brilliant clip of Ronaldinho dressed. What was he dressed like? He was dressed in like a white suit with a hat, and he was playing the drums at a carnival. Oh. What a piece of work.
That is magnificent.
Is this still contracted Ronaldinho, who's supposed to be playing for Milan at the moment?
I'm going
to
stick it on Ramble.
No.
He's gone to Flamenco.
Of course he has. Points. Yeah, of course, yeah.
He can do what he wants.
Yeah, true, yeah.
It was a ridiculous suit. He looked like, I don't know, like those people that lead out the cheerleaders at the World Series.
Oh, is he like them? He has got a smile and a half, hasn't he?
Despite me forgetting he's not at Milan anymore, he still would be doing that if he was at Milan.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
That's what they got rid of. Oh, you might as well.
Good lad.
Fair enough. Staying in South America, in the D Metropolitana League in Argentina, I know we've all been watching that of late. 36 red cards were shown in one game.
What a mess that was.
What a mess.
I think that was every single player, every single sub, and quite a few technical staff.
Yeah. I mean, there were fans involved in the brawls as well, so if he could have sent them off, he would have.
That's why South American brawls are much better.
Yeah.
Because the fans get involved.
Unity. It's more unity, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all inclusive. The only thing even approaching a South American style brawl was in the Champions League. Remember when Inter played Valencia?
Yeah.
And there was a massive brawl.
That was professional.
Well, people were kicking each other in the face and stuff. Mm.
Yeah, but the fans were involved.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. It's nowhere near as good.
We've just got our Eric Cantona just kicking one man.
Yeah, exactly.
To satisfy our bloodlust.
Yeah.
Well, the referee was Damian Rubino, so maybe it's the highlight of his career. I don't know.
Probably is.
It'll certainly be remembered. The previous
Was that the Paraguayan game before the record?
Correct.
That? But it was only about 20 reds, wasn't it?
Only.
Well, yeah, sorry, yeah, good point.
Yeah, the keepers battled it out afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't think that, shooting from goal kicks.
Yeah.
Also, in Colombia, there was an owl kicking incident. Did you see this?
Oh, bloody hell.
I saw it and it was horrific.
When are they going to stop this?
It was awful, Jim, honestly.
Mm. Yeah, Armageddon. So
it was a little while ago, but he said that he was there was an owl that died, sort of landed on the pitch, and one of the players just
kicked it. Yeah, it was awful.
But it wasn't dead though, was it?
No,
it wasn't dead at the point of
drunk.
No, it was still, because you could still see it moving around, so the guy kicked it. He could have just picked.
Where's the logic in
it? It was right near the touchline. He could have just picked it up.
Well, I don't know, could have got rabies. Can they carry rabies?
Frowned upon at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
The owls.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
I never want him to find me in some sort of respiratory distress.
No.
Him kicking me to hospital.
It's unlikely, isn't it? Living as you do in North London. There's probably there's several people between you and him. I would have thought.
Indeed. Oh, it's time for emails.
Mmm. Oh. BS, no need. Thank you very much to Ed for that
very
jingle.
Strong,
a
very
beautiful
strong.
Piece of work.
Ed, take the afternoon off.
take a bloody bow.
Ed, win.
James, what have you got for us?
I've got an email, as is traditional in this section.
Yes, yeah, really.
Hello, Ramble. That's all of us. Following your revelation that the footballer Breda Hangeland's name aligns perfectly to the Jurassic Park theme tune, I thought you might find it interesting to know that I find it impossible to pronounce the name of Senegalese footballer Papa Bouba Diop without singing it to the tune of the castle slash Bowser levels on Super Mario World. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Keep up the good work. That's Eric King. So that'll be Papa Bouba Diop or Papa Bouba Diop. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure which one he means, yeah, but it works brilliantly.
Yeah, because I saw that email, but I couldn't work it out.
Yeah, Papa Bouba Diop. Papa Bouba Diop.
I wonder if you could get the whole song with the names of footballers. That'd be good. I can't be bothered to do
Danny
that.
Baker,
I'm throwing that out to you.
Someone
listeners.
Did it at Danny Baker's show to the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, that's right.
It was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, but
Mario Brothers theme is a better song than
Gary Lineker. Gary Lineker.
Wait, speaking of Gary Lineker.
Oh, you saw him this morning?
Saw him this morning having a jog.
Hmm.
I've never seen him before.
Having a jog.
Was he nicking crisps or whatever it is?
He's a specimen.
Is this the same place you saw Lampard and his missus?
No, that was different. Okay. Different place.
But Lineker apparently looks well. Mark Lineker, said to me, Luke, if you were 35, you'd be happy to look like that. I said, I'd be happy to look like that now.
He's 50. Yeah. He must live, you know, not too far. In what I would imagine my area is now called Striker's Paradise.
Oh, I imagine.
We're all there. Imagine,
when are you moving out?
Hey! Yeah, when they increase the rent.
I imagine that his skin cells are just kind of dying though, because he's got a lot of tan, a lot of sort of fake tan on there.
But is it fake or is it a lot of holiday?
Sprayed skeleton by now.
No, but you're still not good to expose yourself to the sun so much. You'll go all rubbery.
No, but
leathery.
Leathery.
That's true. Maybe, but in living in Spain for those sort of couple of years he did, mate, he's got a good base tan.
What was the last footballer you saw out in the wild, Luke? Because I saw Gareth Southgate recently. Just before he took the FA job.
Yeah. I can't remember the last one I saw.
No.
Not really sure.
In the wild.
It's not a competition.
No. I'll have a think about it and get back to you.
Alright, well, I've got an email as well.
Oh.
It's under a load of other pieces of paper. I found it now. Don't worry, everyone. This is from Kane.
Kane
from Livorno, Italy.
I'm not from Mortal Kombat.
Worldwide ramble.
Is there a Kane in Mortal Kombat?
Isn't it Kano?
It's Kano.
Oh, is that the rapper?
It's Kano.
Yeah, but I always
isn't Kane a wrestler?
Mm.
He's
violent, whatever he is.
There is a wrestler called Kane. Let's assume it's the same one.
Read
it in the style of a wrestler, if you will.
Dear Ramble! No. Just thought you might like to hear a quote I read in the Italian newspaper, the Gazzetta dello Sport. In an interview with Ibra, he was asked what he thought of himself compared to another great Milan centre-forward, Marco van Basten. Zlatan was quoted saying, "When you talk about me and Marco, it's impossible to compare us because you can't compare legends to one another." Keep up the great work, lads. Kane from Livorno.
Great one, Kane.
Thank you very much. Kane!
So I can't believe the British press didn't pick up on that one. They're normally pretty good.
Yeah,
excellent.
Super. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. We've mentioned before on the pod, haven't we, that sometimes when we see former players as pundits and TV personalities, we can forget what great players they were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we repeat ourselves quite a lot.
This man could be put into that category. It's Ruud Gullit.
Sexy football.
Sexy footballer.
Also.
Yeah. What did he do before he managed Newcastle? I didn't know he did anything like that.
He did some stuff. We're going to talk about that. But first, the first thing he did was that he was born on September the 1st, 1962.
5 years before the Summer of Love.
Indeed. Mm.
So he lived through the Summer of Love.
He did.
Yeah. And was probably better for it.
The Summer of Lank, because he was quite lanky.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Rakish.
Mm. Now, here's a tout for you, James or Jim. One of the most successful and accomplished Dutch players in their history.
Mm.
Now,
absolutely
not really
no problem
a tout,
that
is it?
That is
not
saying something.
Yeah, it's true. But
they've
it's
had some players, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you.
He's probably one of the more complete players, I think.
Yeah, a complete player, definitely.
Everything. I mean, he's graceful, he was strong, he was the
right down to
like
the drullet.
Any position?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. You might say he's one of the more complete players ever because he was such a good player all over the pitch.
Yeah. Good drullet.
Or through the middle of the pitch, really.
Defender, midfielder, and forward. A total footballer.
The
drullet, the dreadlock mullet.
Mm.
I think Eddie Temple Morris coined that phrase, and God bless him for that. At the age of 10, it was reported that he was playing on the mean streets with Frank Rijkaard.
Yeah, he was. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
That is incredible if you think about it. We'll come on to it.
I think Robin van Persie, and I forget who else it is.
Too young.
There's another current player that was just exactly the same story. They grew up playing
Hullit and Rijkaard were childhood friends, and they grew up on the same estate. I'm pretty sure that's true.
Absolutely incredible. Mm. So he signed his first professional contract with Haarlem at the age of 16.
Haarlem? Yeah. It's two A's.
Two A's.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking.
Nazzle?
Globetrotters? Yeah. He made his debut at the age of 16, becoming the youngest player ever to play in the Dutch league. Now, he started out playing centre-back for them, a libero type of role.
Love a libero.
Sort of Beckenbauer kind of thing. Yeah. Apparently,
a bit of a...
Luke Moore?
Yes.
Well...
You're too kind.
It's
Rude Hullet has had a lot of delusions of grandeur. Yeah. So it's a fitting comparison.
Yeah. Oh dear. The comparisons may stop because he averaged as a centre back one goal in every three games.
Decent.
Flipping
heck. Unbelievable. Mm.
Windass-esque.
Indeed.
Yeah. In 1981, he made his debut for Holland on his 19th birthday. That's a lovely birthday.
Yeah.
Or depending on the result, really. Oh. Could be horrible.
I think they lost 2-1.
Oh, what?
Oh, come on. It's a friendly, I'd imagine.
Just because it's your birthday doesn't mean you can coast.
My imagination's running
wild. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Feyenoord...
That birthday's turned into a nightmare.
Yeah. Feyenoord fancied a bit of him.
Yeah.
So they got him. They signed him up. Played with in the same team, Feyenoord, as Johan Cruyff.
Mm. He was winding his career down by that point, though, Cruyff.
Yeah, well, he probably wasn't that good then, was he?
Oh, like? Yeah, rubbish.
Now, for them, they put him further up the field. Scored 40 goals in 101 appearances as a more kind of creative midfielder.
Yeah.
It's still a great record.
Mm.
He's a striker, you'd probably be pleased with that. Unless you were Dixie Dean. and he did the League and Cup double that year in 1984, Dutch Player of the Season. Then he moved to PSV Eindhoven, won the league in his two seasons there. Also won the Ballon d'Or in 1987.
That's right.
And who did he dedicate it to?
Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, he was
still in prison on Robben Island.
Hullet was really, really supportive of Mandela before it became fashionable to do so.
Yeah.
And I think Mandela even said to Hullet, later on, a number of years later, Mandela said to him, "Oh, I've got something along the lines of, I've got many friends now, but when I was in prison, I didn't have many."
Yeah.
But you were definitely one of them, to Hullet.
Can you imagine
Mandela? Yeah, they're big pals, apparently, yeah.
And Hullet's always been very sort of forthright in his opinions about things like that, hasn't he? Which, and it's great
he's
to see.
Politically
that.
Active. Isn't he released like protest songs or stuff?
He has, yeah.
Really
in 1988, that was with Revelation Time.
It was about a
that was the group. That was the group called Revelation. Yeah, but I forget the name of the song. I think it was number 3 in the Dutch charts. The much coveted spot.
I'm not taking anything away from
Champions League place.
But I'm going to say 2 Unlimited.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. My argument is invalid. What I would also say, though, with regards to dedicating his award to Nelson Mandela, he later on visited Robben Island, Ruud Hullet, of course, and he met some guys there who were cellmates of Mandela, and he said that when he dedicated his award, they said that they couldn't believe what Hullet had done, and basically because of the way their thinking had been altered through apartheid, they thought your award's going to be taken off you for saying that. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So you know, it was such an incredible gesture, really. In 1988, of course, he did release the single, but he also captained the Dutch national team to their first major trophy, winning Euro 88.
What's going to be the bigger high?
Well,
you decide, listeners.
It's easy to sort of forget about Euro 88 to a certain extent because there was only about 8 teams in it, I think. It was a very small tournament. There was two groups.
It was.
And
England got battered.
Well, we lost every game. We came bottom of our group and Van Basten scored a hat-trick against us, ripped us to pieces.
Yeah, the Irish beat us, Roy Houghton, I think it was.
Hullet was excellent in that game, though. He really was excellent.
Him and Van Basten up front.
God.
Scary, yeah. James.
It is.
They both scored in the final against the Soviet Union.
Hang on a minute. That is not doing any service to Van Basten's goal.
Well, hang on, I was about...
Good, go on.
Let me. Hullet scored a header, of course, and a lovely, powerful, close-range header it was.
With his like, dreadlocks, like, whipped the ball, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delish. Mm. And then Van Basten scored
Taffy.
A volley.
Taffy. Van Basten scored the greatest goal of all time.
Should have crossed greedy.
Yeah.
An angular volley.
I thought it would be funny, but Hullet was wide open on the back.
Again,
there's one person who shot like that.
Yeah.
He would have been Hullet.
Yeah, he would have, yeah.
I was open!
Yeah.
Nice finish, but next time.
Yeah. lift your head.
Yeah. And of course, he teamed up with Van Basten and Frank Rijkaard, his childhood friend, at Milan. Forming a lovely little Dutch trio under Arrigo Sacchi.
Yeah. Love a trio, didn't they, Milan?
Yeah. Baresi was involved there, Maldini. That was a team.
If you're talking about an influential group of Dutchmen, Euro 88, Van Basten had it scored in the final.
Yeah.
European Cup final 89, Milan beat Steaua Bucharest 4-0. Hullet scored two, Van Basten scored two. One of Hullet's goals was a brilliant volley. In the 1990 European Cup final, Frank Rijkaard scored the winner.
I think he did,
1-0. Yeah, so they're influencing finals all over the place. Against Sven's Benfica.
Sven Fika. Thank you.
But honestly, well done. I think Hullet's first goal in the European Cup final was a tap-in, but his second, Haji Stoya, stepped off him about 12-15 yards out, and he's rifled the volley in the top corner, and he's off.
There's only one way to do a volley, and it's to rifle it.
Yeah,
indeed.
He was always really good at low volleys, as I recall. Like, sort of that one he did against Southampton, as I recall, as a child.
That was a great goal, just
the swivel and sort
swivel his hips and got over the ball.
So low.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow. He scored a couple of nice ones for Chelsea like that. Yeah.
He was also going back to it. He was also in the Dutch national team for Italia 90. Didn't have a brilliant tournament, the Dutch. They
knocked out by Germany. West Germany, yeah.
So were we, so yeah. Fair enough. All the best teams were.
Yeah.
He did score a nice one against the Irish, though. Nice little move. I think finished off.
The group that... That was Group F, and England, Republic of Ireland, Holland and Egypt. And
that's rubbish.
Group.
Yeah.
Egypt went out, because three went through.
Yeah.
Because there were only 24 teams.
The only one game was not a draw, and that was us against Egypt, when Mark Wright scored.
Which meant Egypt went home, and England, Republic of Ireland and Holland went
and
through.
The Dutch, yeah. Now we go forward just a couple of years. He was obviously having a good time at Milan, although started to pick up a few injuries. He left Milan for Sampdoria in 93, teaming up with David Platt.
I think wasn't he quite angry about that? I think didn't Milan basically think he was in the knackers yard?
Yeah,
just send him out to Sampdoria.
That's right. Yeah, he won the Italian Cup with Sampdoria. He was there. I think he was there for a season. Then he was back to Milan. Then back at Sampdoria, and then he sort of.
But he was back at Milan for like 6 months or so. Wasn't
he? He went sort of back and forth between the two.
Not because I'm in an affair.
Yeah.
Easy.
Your words, not mine.
Can I personally distance myself?
What's wrong with that? Well,
there were stories kicking around.
I was going to say, you'll see them at the end. He didn't play for Holland at USA 94 because he had a bust up with the manager. Can you believe that?
No, Holland.
No way.
Before the tournament. Which was quite courteous of him, I thought. Yeah. Usually they save it for the big stage.
Yeah.
And then in 1995, he made the move to West London and signed for Glenn Hoddle's Chelsea.
He was loving it on the King's Road, wasn't he?
He did.
Cosmopolitan Villet. Loving it.
Chelsea, one can't forget that they were very much a mid-table side back in those days. Quite unfashionable.
There was a great Hullet quote, because he started off at centre-back on the whole, didn't he? There's a great quote where Hullet just massively bigs himself up, and he says something like, "Oh, it was annoying playing centre-back, and the reason I got moved forward is because the ball would come over, I wouldn't header it, I'd bring it down, I'd tag a man on, I'd put it into space, and the right back wouldn't even be there."
Yeah, that's right.
It was like, okay.
But the way that he sort of says the quote sort of suggests that Hoddle was genuinely frightened that he would lose the ball at any moment, so that's why he pushed him in the field. I don't want you beating a man on the D.
You don't mess around on the D.
And Hoddle would have said, "No one does that, apart from maybe me."
He would have done
and then
himself.
Slid in hard.
Hoddle
did say, with regards to these things, you're right in what you're saying about you trying to take it down and pass it to the teammates. You wouldn't know what to do with it. And he said, "Rude, it would be better if you do these things in midfield." So he moved him up there. He adjusted very well. He was named runner-up to Eric Cantona as Footballer of the Year.
He's a one-man spine, isn't he?
He really is.
Great stuff.
Just like
to go with his own lanky spine.
And it wasn't that fashionable for players to come to the Premier League then, remember?
No. He was one of the first.
It was almost like a retirement home, wasn't it?
Bergkamp.
We were the MLS back in the day.
I suppose it sort of was a retirement home for Hullet, I suppose.
Well, he was kicking on, but he could have gone to some big clubs, though, to be fair.
Well, hang on. No disrespect.
Well, but not at the time they weren't.
No, true, No, I agree with you. I just.
Wasn't there some famous
He was one of the first big foreign signings in the Premiership, which I don't think it's stupid to say helped the league get where it is today.
Absolutely, did, yeah.
Yeah, Lombardo right. came over after it.
Yeah. Why Devano went to Palace? Yeah.
Brolin.
Who can forget at the same club, Winston Boharda.
Salenzi.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't ever go at the brush. Yeah. All right.
You've gone too far there, Pete.
Sorry, lads. Mm. Ravanelli.
You've hurt your second team. Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed. I mean, I can remember at 1990 when he played, and I thought he was the best player in the world. Mm. I was a young lad at the time.
That's not a controversial shout, though.
Well,
no, but I mean, he was one of those players. He was absolutely up there.
You looked at him and you just thought, wow.
He was like a lovely swan what with dreads, because he was all like bendy.
You thought, wow, what a moustache.
Mm. What a moustache.
One of those players where if you've got hair like that, or if you've got a Valderrama sort of afro, you have got to back it up.
You've got to perform.
You know what I mean? You've got to be good to stand out for your play as well as your look.
Always seem to get in his eyes. I never understood, like, because I'm
the Alice band hadn't been invented, Pete.
No. But you need to tie that back, surely.
Yeah. I agree with you.
No, I don't know.
Wasn't my decision.
The medals and awards would disagree with you.
Yeah.
Well, imagine what he could have achieved.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He could have won the Premier League.
Yeah.
Of course, he took over as player coach at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea, winning the FA Cup in 1997. And he took Chelsea, I think, to fourth place in the league, which was no mean feat. And then he was sacked the following season. Mm. He was player coach for them, lest we forget. And then he went to manage Newcastle United, Pete.
Mm.
This is where the profile kind of begins to get a bit murky.
Sexy football.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a culture shock for him, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
Dropping Shearer for the Derby was a good move, wasn't it? Mm.
Well, and alienating local hero and Captain Robert Lee as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We're sort of also saying that the Milan Derby is way better than the Wearside Tyne Derby. It's just, that's a big thing to tell you.
I actually agree with that.
Well, yeah. But you don't say it to the supporters, do you, really? True. So I go, this is nothing!
Yeah.
But
you think this is good? I'll tell you what, I've played in some games before.
To be fair, he wasn't
the most from Hoddle.
He wasn't the most personable of people, and I think his ego was you know, unleashed upon the squad. But I think, to a certain extent, he earned it. To a huge extent.
But he didn't even give Rob Lee a squad number, did he?
Yeah, he just completely
that's
dropped
terrible.
Him. And I think he tried to sort of divide and conquer the squad. He wanted to be the big man in the dressing room and stuff. Big man on campus, yeah. And so he knew that Lee was good friends with Shearer, so he dropped Lee and tried to sort of... But that sort of clip where, to be fair, he took us to an FA Cup final. But, yeah. I mean, he did follow Dalglish, who had done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And he finished in exactly the same position, 13. So it's kind of... he just fell out with Shepherd and fell out with all the players, and then
one of the things he did from memory that everyone got annoyed about was that didn't he say at some point, oh, well, the Derby, it's just another game. It's just another game or something. And then all the Newcastle.
Oh, he downplayed it, yeah.
Yeah, got a bit annoyed about that. And then he dropped Shearer for the Derby, didn't he?
Yeah.
To make
and
a point,
Ferguson for.
Naughty, naughty. Mm. So, yeah, not a happy time in Newcastle. He resigned. He wasn't sacked. He resigned in August 1999. He also had stints at Feyenoord a few years later, LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
Of course, and now he's in Chechnya with Terek Grozny.
He fell out with the management at...
Terek Grozny, no doubt.
He fell out with
he wants to be careful about that.
I was going to say, wait for that to happen.
Yeah. he fell out with the management at in America because over Baba Yaro, he signed him up and he was clearly rubbish.
Yeah, zero idea. An incredible career.
But what a player, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's remember the good times.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he's primarily a player. He's not had that much of a management.
No, he hasn't.
He had a good season with Chelsea, but, you know, some players don't make the leap. But he was what a player he was.
Yeah. Indeed. It's also worth pointing out, I think, that his third and current wife is the niece of... Yes, James. is the niece of Johan Cruyff.
Mm.
There you go, you see.
Is he trying to create some sort of super child?
Yeah.
Is it just some ego project?
Like,
live for his son again.
Like Aguero and the daughter of Maradona?
Yeah.
Or a total family.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works.
If the
son becomes the dad.
If the dad's doing like the washing up and he gets to go and do something else, the son can slot in.
Yeah. Or if the dad sleeps in, the son can go to work for him.
Yeah. It's total family. Yeah. Richard. Rude.
Yeah, he should have stayed. He's still there. Of course, he's now a pundit on Sky Sports, lest we forget. But I shall end with a quote from George Best.
Oh.
Bestie said this about Ruud Gullit. He said, "He has all the skills. He's not afraid to do things with the ball, and he looks as if he's enjoying every second of it. By my reckoning, that's what makes him an even better player than Maradona."
Ooh.
Controversial.
High praise. In he comes. The Dean Windass Hall of Fame. Come on in, Ruud Gullit. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you've had a wonderful time. If you want to get in touch with us, the new email address is show, S-H-O-W. Well, I struggled there. Yeah. Show at thefootballramble.com. Thefootballramble.com is where it's all happening, James.
Mm, there's loads of blogs over there and all kinds of different things.
It's time for Jim's patented now blog roundup.
It is, yeah. It's my favourite part of the show.
In this week's Ramble blog, Andy Brassel spends a weekend touring the Bundesliga, taking a trip to St Pauli, so have a look at that. And Chris Mann does the same around Spain. Joel Richards looks at River Plate's desperate need to become a selling club. James Appel shines his spotlight on the self-destruction of Lokomotiv Moscow nutjob Alexander Aliyev. Chris Nee runs the rule over the MLS's Houston Dynamo. Michael Zakodny, he's our sort of new Polish blogger. He sort of shares the inept story of the Polish top flight's Polonia Bytom. There's a story this week, it's all come out of Poland, where a sort of real kind of Polish legend just made this drunken phone call to a sort of Polish journalist saying everything that's wrong with Polish football. It's crazy. It's like a sort of Charlie Sheen style thing, but based in Polish football.
Everyone's getting the spirit.
Indeed.
Yeah. Get into
the spirits by the looks of it, and finally there's my blog where I question why nobody seems to actually want to win the league. So there we go.
Good.
Get over there.
We've also got a new section of the website that was launched last week, don't we, Pete?
Yeah, it's called PFC.
And you're the captain.
My corner of the internet, which
actually
encapsulates I am the greatest footballer. It just encapsulates, it's just a way of displaying and shoving into your hungry ears Ramble Extra.
Ramble Extra is now on the website.
Yes, it's on Pete FC, so have a look. And all kinds of little shenanigans. Last week I put up a video game review, 8 minutes of me reviewing video games and stuff. So it's just going to be bits I pull out my arse.
And a cartoon strip.
And a little cartoon strip.
Just like Pete's mind on the internet.
I'm going to stick my neck out here and I'm going to say there's no better way to spend Friday afternoon at work than on that site.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit concerned how close the Pete FC tab is to the Dean Windows Hall of Fame tab. I hope you're not moved into there prematurely.
Yeah. Well, you'll see.
Well, actually,
I got my plans.
We're going to set up a friendly. And Pete's going to captain Pete FC. He's going to be on penalties.
Yeah.
His mates against the demon. Yeah.
Pete FC, of course, standing for Pete's
Friday Club.
Yeah.
Get yourself over there.
It's news to me.
On the footballramble.com. And also on the footballramble.com, don't forget you've got 5 minute fantasy football where you can win real cash with Pick Live. There's a tournament going on at the moment. Marcus and I have now been sadly knocked out, so it's Ramble less.
Yeah. I lasted one round.
Yeah, you and Jim lasted one round. Me and Marcus lasted two rounds, I think. But you can still go on there for all the big games and pit your wits against fellow listeners to win real cash. That's thefootballramble.picklive.com.
Lovely stuff. Say goodbye, James.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Bye.
It's goodbye from me. And that's the end of the Pancake Day special. Cheers.
I went into the living room and commented on the fact that the bulb was quite dull, right? So Pete went to the fridge, got a light bulb out of it, put it in, and that was equally dull and made a noise.
That's why I keep my light bulbs
in the fridge.
What was the explanation again? That's normal, James.
That's what we all do.
I didn't have time to locate the adequate cupboard for light bulbs.
Just leave it in the fridge.
Some people keep their bread in the fridge, don't they? They swear it keeps the fridge longer.
Yeah, does it work?
It does work. Yeah.
It's not a light bulb, though.
No.
It started making an horrible noise, though.
I'm team James or Jim on this.
On the same theme.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.